Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
And thank you, everyone. It is great to have you in church today. It's great to have a few people in the building with us today. And we say that it is fantastic. It is a small step, but it is a big step forward as well. And we look forward to the day where we can welcome everyone back into service as well. And one little thing that I have noticed this morning is, watch this, I can do this, you know? And like, I'm still in the frame, well, mostly anyway. Yeah, like, Steph, we couldn't move when we were here because Steph didn't want to go on a camera, but when she was off worship. But hey, there are people on the tech team, there are worship teamers here. And man, we are looking forward to the day where you can come back, and we want to welcome you back to church as well. As a matter of fact, the last time we were together where most people could actually attend a service was on the 23rd of May, which is 21 weeks ago. It has been 21 weeks since we've had a relatively full church. It has been a while. And so we are excited to welcome you back soon. And I want to talk about that for a few moments to begin with before we get to the message today. Now, I just want to let you know where things sit right now. So 70% dose right now. Right now, for the next 2 weeks, the restrictions say that we can have 20 vaccinated people in the building, or 50 if the service is outside. They all have to be fully vaccinated. If vaccination status is unknown, as a church, that drops down to 10 out indoor or 20 outdoor is what it says. At 80%, which is in 2 weeks' time, and it runs for 2 weeks, that increases to 150 people inside and 500 outside. They all have to be fully vaccinated. And at this point in time, we don't know what that means for unknown vaccination status. But when we first saw the roadmap come out, that was 20 people outside was it. 500 or 20 is where it sits. Then from the 19th of November, things are supposed to flick over to the national plan. And we don't have any idea what that means at that point in time. Same as many of you. So that's what the roadmap says for us as a church. Now, I want to give you a bit of a foundation for what I'm going to say next. Now, vaccination. Vaccination might be able to make a change in the physical, but in and of itself, it cannot change what really needs to be changed in us, and that is our hearts. Above all, what we're going through right now, humanity does not have an infectious disease problem that is greater than the problem of a life that is separate from knowing the saving grace of Christ. For whether it be near or whether it be far away, our lives here on earth will end one day. And Jesus Christ is our only hope for eternity. And on that truth, as a human being, whether you've taken a COVID-19 vaccine or not, Jesus is our only true hope. We desperately need to remember that through this time, church. We desperately need to remember it. We need to continue to find from God what has been lacking so much over the last 18 months in society, and that is perspective. God, give us your perspective right now so that we can remain on mission. And this is why we have been seeking to apply for an exemption for churches to be able to welcome back both vaccinated and unvaccinated people into our services. And of course, with the safety of everyone in mind, but we really believe that everyone needs to have access to the life-giving community that is the church. And our commitment as we open up is to provide as safe a place as possible for everyone to come and enjoy fellowship. Let's make sure we maintain the right perspective. Let us not lose sight of the fact that God is indeed sovereign. We need not fear a virus. We need not fear a vaccine, for God is above it all, and he is here. And I want you to hear me correctly today. My desire is not to trivialize any of the issues we face. This is not denying any truth that is out there. This is simply deciding to seek God first, again and again and again, no matter what comes our way. And church, no matter what comes next, because you better believe it, there is more to come, that we continue to seek God first. So, what about church? We have begun planning as much as we can at this point in time what the next few months and weeks particularly are going to look like. And it is our desire right now as much as possible not to promote or seek to not to promote any of the segregation that exists right now. And I understand businesses have different responsibilities around this, but as a church with a united message, as much as possible, we want to be open to all. So for at least the next 4 weeks, our Sunday services are going to remain online only, apart from those coming to run the service, which are our service team and a couple of family members as well, with the hope that we'll be able to welcome you back sooner than what is currently expected. So I would encourage you, in your prayer times each day, can you please pray along those lines with us, that the doors would be able to be opened to all. I know many of you can't wait to be back, and we honestly can't wait to have you back. But as much as there seems to be no great answer, this is how I believe God would have us operate in the short term. But there is good news, because church is not just about Sunday services. Our youth team, and I want to honour Nick and Matt and our youth leaders who went back on Friday night and had a great night at youth, and some of our life groups have started back up. And there is more in the works, but we're just going to be doing things a little bit differently for the short term. We're going to be operating in smaller groups as we're allowed to. There have been many times I have wished we didn't have to wade through the things that we're wading through at the moment. But every time I'm reminded that it's going to be all right, because God's in control. God has it all ready for us. Some have said to me over the last few months and weeks, Andy, the church just needs to stand up. The church just needs to stand up to defy the government and just open up. And I've said it again, we would love to fling wide the doors. But we have a biblical responsibility to submit and to obey the government that is in place. Romans 13 says that all authority, it reminds us all that all authority comes from God. And as we live obedient to it, we indeed live obedient to God. That is, unless the government specifically asks us to deny the Bible and its teachings, then we would be doing some different things. But fortunately, in this situation, that is not what we face right now. So, there is still a road to walk on this, and challenges that we will face, but can we please remember we are on mission? We need to remain on mission. There are neighbors out there that need to know the love of Jesus, and that will be through us. And I want to encourage you, and I want to just offer to you, if you're struggling with the way to process, the way to think through that which we're going through right now, because if you are, I understand that the decisions that are being made right now can have a heavy cost associated with them. And I'm inviting you to give one of our team a call so that we can pray with you. Pray for you and pray with you in these situations. This is not about our opinion. This is not about who is right and who is wrong in a situation. This is about maintaining a correct perspective. That above all of what we see, Jesus is Lord. And the fruit of knowing this is peace. The fruit of knowing this is joy. The fruit of knowing this is the hope that we have for the future, because Jesus is Lord. And I would ask you this morning, how is your peace? How is your joy? How is your hope right now? And if anything is amiss, be it by thought or by action right now, I would encourage you to seek God first and allow Him to guide you. Jesus is Lord. Finally, I want us to acknowledge and continue to acknowledge there is no such thing as bad news when it compares to the good news we have in Jesus. Man, let that be revelation to you today. The good news of the gospel is for us all. Oh, man. Can we pray? Just take a moment to open your hearts right now to what the Holy Spirit wants to say to you. Father, we thank you right now as we just pause for a moment and give you praise and give you glory for who you are, for the way that you have led us to this point, for the way that you are faithful to continue to guide us. Holy Spirit, we thank you that our hope is in you above it all, not in something man has made, not in what anybody else will say, but our hope is in you above it all. You are sovereign, Lord God, And we choose and continue to choose to trust in you, to seek you first, to reinstate you as needed, Lord God, as all every single day, as Lord over our own lives, of our own decisions. Holy Spirit, we desire to bring glory to Jesus' name through the way that we act, through the way that we live, through the way that we speak. Lord, we do it all for you to do. In Jesus' mighty name. And the church said, amen. 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 All right. All right. Here we go. Today is the final message in our four-part series titled The Presence of the Lord. And if you've been with us throughout and you've written notes, grab those notes out. I'm going to remind you a little bit of those. The first session we had, I spoke about God, the presence of God. He is omnipresent. He is transcendent. He is big, but he is also imminent, and he is also right with us. He is close, and he is present with us today. And it was this manifest presence of God that we wanted to look at through this series. Also, he is holy. We serve a holy God, and unholy things cannot remain in his presence. But through Christ, we are made righteous and able to be in the presence of God, which is incredible. I asked the question at the end of the message, is the presence of God at home in my home? Which was a real challenge, and I hope that's something that you have applied to your own lives and asked that question, is the presence of God at home in my home? What are we allowing into our homes? In our second session, Pastor Graham spoke a brilliant message on burning bush moments. He looked at the story of Moses encountering God through that burning bush and shared stories about others who had been touched by the presence of God in an undeniable way. He encouraged us to open our eyes to be aware of the burning bush moments that God has for each and every one of us. Have you had one of those? Well, man, we would love to hear it if you have a testimony. I was speaking to someone this week and we were just talking about burning bush moments, and it is incredible. It's so encouraging when you share those with other people as well. And then last week we had Chris Blacker, CB, brought a message, and he asked this question at the start of his message. I thought it was a really, really great question. And he said, how would you change if Jesus walked with you for a month? And it is a really interesting question to think about. And we spoke about this in our staff meeting this week, and Jules made this really great observation. And she said, and she used the example of sitting in the car with one of her relatives, and her behavior or maybe the way she drives would change because they are in her presence there. And this great observation that no doubt our behavior would change if Jesus was here, but also that we acknowledge that that is not actually Jesus' goal. His goal is to see our hearts change. The problem is that we don't have a behavioral change, that we need a heart change. It's not a behavioral problem, it's a heart problem. And the question was, am I allowing the presence of God to change my heart to be more like his? And right through this, I hope that you've been able to see that this is God's mission for us, that he wants to draw us near to him, for us to be in relationship with him, to be in his presence. Jesus Christ is evidence of that. I want to say it this way. When you think about heaven, you think about that time where our lives will end and heaven awaits us. And again, I used to think about this differently as a child, and I've grown in maturity in the way I think about eternity and heaven as well. But heaven is not just a landing place for us to enjoy eternity, right? It is a place to be forever in his presence. That's the revelation. It's not just about us enjoying eternity, but it is about us being in the presence of the Lord forever. And so today, to close out this series, I've titled this message, A Worthy Response. A Worthy Response. What is our response to the Word of God or to his presence? What is our worthy response to being in his presence? Now, I was thinking about the royal family this week a little bit, and I was thinking about the royals, and if the royals came, the Windsors, is that the family? I don't know if anyone calls them the Windsors. Is that incorrect? So what I'm going to talk about right now anyway. The royals. If the royals came into town and you happened to be there and you were in line to greet them, would you know what to do? Would you? Do you know what the correct etiquette is around the Queen? Men, what you have to do is do a small bow just with your head is what is etiquette. And greet the Queen as Your Majesty. Maybe not in the accent, but Your Majesty. And then ma'am, you say ma'am from then on after that. And ladies, Holly, I was going to ask you to come up here, but it's up to you if you want to or not. But for ladies, you don't bow. You're supposed to do a curtsy. Do you know how to do a curtsy? All right. We got someone on a camera? No? Come over here so everyone can see you. That's it. Perfect. Yeah, that's great. Curtsy. Excellent. Love it. That's a curtsy. And so, ladies, that is appropriate for you. But once you've got past that formal introduction, a simple ma'am will suffice. And make sure that you keep it at small talk. Nothing deep is what is needed right now, but it needs to be small talk with the Queen. Most of all, these responses to royalty are around action or inaction. Do we bow? Do we kneel? Do we look away? Do we talk? Do we not talk? All out of respect for the bit of hardware that is on her head, the crown. Have you met someone famous before? Let me ask you. Someone well known? I have met plenty in my dreams, but not in person. Actually, I have met someone famous, and perhaps many of you have too. He was an Iron Chef. He was on Iron Chef. He was on the TV show. You know who I'm talking about, Cam? Duncan, the TV star. We've met Duncan. Man, it's so good. But I've seen the clips of people meeting famous people before, and when they enter into the presence of someone famous or someone they've respected or whatever the case, there's people fainting, there's people crying, there's people going crazy when they enter into the presence of someone they admire. And there's always two parts to these meetings. There's the part that we enter into their presence, or they into ours, the first. And then there's the second part, which is our response to that moment. You don't always get to control when the encounter occurs, but you certainly have control over your response or how you choose to respond. And that's the part that we want to talk about today. As we did with removing his sandals, the place was holy ground, or each morning or evening when we spend time with him, I want you to ask yourself the question, what is my worthy response when experiencing the presence of God? And we're going to look at four parts to this response, to our response to his presence, when we enter the presence of God. The first thing to note is this, that response is determined by relationship. Every one of us experience this on a daily basis. When I come home after a day out and enter the presence of my wife, when I come home to Cass, when I enter Cass's presence, my response to her in that moment is very different than when I go to the supermarket and I enter the presence of the person scanning my groceries. I'm looking for loving when I come home. I'm not looking for that when I'm in the supermarket. Cass, my response is different. My response to my kids is different when they come and visit me in my office. My response to the presence of my kids is different than my response to the presence of one of the staff that would pop into the office. It's a different response. See, my response to their presence is determined by the level of my relationship with them. That is the starting point. And the question is, how is your relationship with God? For some, I've spoken to, and even over the last 18 months, you are as close as you have ever been. He is your everything. The morning and the evening, his praise is on your lips. When you say Father God, that is exactly who he is to you. It encompasses the relationship you have. For others, maybe it feels like it's a bit of a long-distance relationship, you know? And the communication might have dropped in its frequency. And I want you to remember that that as we feel separate, God is not the one that moves. He never moves. Maybe you feel like you've let God down in some decisions you've made, and imagine walking into his presence with your head down, full of shame because you've broken trust. Or for others, maybe you don't yet have a personal relationship with God. Maybe you're trying to understand God's character and may acknowledge that he's real, but don't have that personal relationship with him. I want to say, no matter the level of your relationship that you have at this point in time, if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as a Christian, you can enter his presence with confidence. That's my first point for today, is with confidence. Turn with me to Ephesians 3. We're going to live here for a little while, and then we're going to get to the Psalms a little later on. Ephesians 3:12. It says this, because of Christ, underline that. If you're drawing your Bible, underline that. Because of Christ, and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. Graham said that as part of his communion as well. Boldly and confidently because of Christ. And I want you to keep your finger on that page. We're going to get to that a bit later. It is because of Christ that we can enter into the presence of God confidently. So let me encourage you to get your head up. You have been forgiven. You have been made right with God. As Romans 5:1 says, because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for you. Let me say it this way. Coming confidently into the presence of God brings glory to his Son. You honor Jesus by entering in with boldness and confidence. That gift that Jesus has paid for you. There is no need to be timid. There is no expectation for you to keep it to small talk, to perform a trick before you get there, or to clean yourself up before going in, because Jesus has given you access. So enter in with confidence. I remember an encounter with my boss when I used to work at Woolies down the road, and I was called into her office, and it was an interesting time. I'd not been called into many offices or many principals' offices, but it was a call into the boss's office, and it was very early in the morning. And what happened? I don't know if you've ever had that call where you've been called into the manager's office or the boss's office. What happens to you when you think of that, Matt? Have you ever had that before? Perfect child, Matt Burt. All right, wrong person to ask. Cam, have you ever had that? Cam is nodding. He's had that opportunity to be in that position. And really, over the last couple of years, it's not been called into the boss's office. It's been assigned to a Zoom call where only the two of you are on the invite list. And you wonder, what is going on here? And immediately those questions come, don't they? What do they want? Or what have I done? And is there a sliver of a possibility that if I've done something wrong, that we dwell on that and the way that we enter the meeting changes because of what we're thinking about right there? There can be self-doubt. There can be fear of consequence. There can be insecurity. And until the meeting happens, we actually find out what's going on. There is a possibility of allowing our shoulders to shrug. We become a little bit, oh, there's this weight that's hanging over us because of what might come. And sometimes people see God this way, that he's a boss that is ready to call us into his office and punish us for all the things that we've done. But that's not the character of God. In James 2, it says his mercy triumphs over judgment. And that's why Paul is encouraging us in here in Ephesians to enter into his presence with confidence. This is to remind us of his character. God wants you to be with him. And so I encourage you, don't let the lies of the enemy or self-doubt in yourself say anything different. God wants you. And it's from there that comes a necessary change in our posture. And we're going to read further from Ephesians. We're going to go to verse 14. And he says this, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father. And the second point for us today in our worthy response to the presence of God is that we fall to our knees. And it's really important that first sentence, when I think of all this, and you can read what it says in Ephesians 3 up the top there. When I think of all this, and if the enemy were to have it his way, he would make you so busy that you wouldn't have time to stop and think about all that God has done for you. I was thinking about this along the lines of someone performing a heroic act. And I was thinking about, you know, when people have been trapped and they've been unable to get out of something and someone comes in and a rescuer comes in and they're able to relieve them from that trap or get them back to normal life or whatever it is. And when the time comes, and you've seen these moments probably on screen before, when the time comes for these people to come back together, there is that thanks, there is that gratitude that comes for what the other person has done, for effectively saving their life. And there is this humility that is in that. Because what I could not do myself as I was trapped was able to be done by my Savior. And there is this humility when we come to that person, acknowledging that that is what has actually occurred. And as we find ourselves entering into the presence of God, let our first response be to fall to our knees with humility, giving praise to the one who saved us. And before that, who loved us and came to save us. And I realize that it can sound a little bit contradictory with our response here, that we can come confidently, but also with humility. And C.S. Lewis says it this way. He says, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less is the way that we can continue to be confident in our entrance, but with humility. I want us to see what Paul says, and I've got this in red here because I don't really need to read it, but I want to read it anyway. This is verse 15 to 20 of Ephesians 3, and it says this. So I'll start in verse 14. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. This is like, oh my gosh, like one of my favorites. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. And I know I didn't need to read that in context to this, but far out, let the word of God speak to you today. We praise God for all that he has done. The third point. David has this revelation, and he writes it in Psalm 95. Our third response, our worthy response, is simply worship. And it's going to frame the last couple of points regarding our response to the presence of God. Psalm 95, 1-7 says, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to him. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. The sea belongs to him, for he made it. His hands form the dry land too. And then verse 6, highlight this. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is God. We are the people he watches over, the flock under his care. And David is saying this not as a command to us, but as a response. And we need to remember that we are all worshiping right now. We are all worshiping in some manner. We just need to make sure that our worship is pointed in the right direction. And remember what we said at the start. The response is determined by the relationship. Response is determined by relationship. Most of us, and for you guys here in the room, most of us would have a bit of car history, right? Car history. And I've had car history myself, and I've had a few vehicles myself, and perhaps at home you've had a couple too. And unless you're in your first car, but it's still history. You've still got car history. And I want you to think about your car history. I want to think about a favorite. Have you got a favorite? Yes, I know you do. I know you do. Have you got a favorite car that you've had in your pastime? Any nods? Has anyone had a favorite that you don't have anymore? Yep, the nods go on. Yes. Isn't it funny? Not a lot of them are the favorites that we have right now, the favorites that we had. Perhaps it's your first one. Perhaps it's one that has nostalgic value to you. Perhaps it's one you did a big old road trip in and it's not a fantastic car, but it did it anyway and you have value in that car. There is a clear favorite I have in my car history. My first car was a great little servant, this great little blue servant of mine. But then by the time I got to my second car, I'd been saving up for a little. And I pretty much stumbled into this car in my uncle's car yard. And it's really weird because he was a van salesman and it wasn't a van. And someone had traded this car in for a van, and it was pretty much like my dream car at that point. And I had a black VT HSV Club Sport. Some people know, and some people don't. You may not have a clue. You're going, I don't know what that is, Andy. I don't know what that is. I know it doesn't mean much to many of you. But I remember so clearly the care that I had for this car, the respect that I had for it, oh my goodness. And this is funny. I would drive it to work, and I was working at Woolies in Bayswater at the time, and there's an underground car park there. And I would drive into work, and I'd park my car in there, and I would, I remember parking, and I would turn the wheel hard so that, like, the money shot with the, some of the guys are nodding. The girl's like, what are you talking about? But you turn the wheel, and it looks really good, and And so what would happen, I'd get out of the car and I'd walk to work and I'd be walking back and this is what I'd do. Three or four times before I got out of sight of the car, I'd turn around and look at my car. It was funny, right? It's funny. I know. Pray for me afterwards. Even at lunchtime, I'd come back and have a look at my car. It was a prized possession of mine. And we'd never really choose to frame these things in this way, but if taken to the next level, this would be something that could be classified as worship. As worship. And this is why we need to be careful what we give our most time to. What we worship in life that takes the place of God. And this is why I said it's not a command, but it's a response. When you come into the presence of something like that, what is your response? When you take moments at home or throughout your day to give glory to God, how does entering His presence look for you? See, what worship does is it reveals to God and it reveals to us who comes first. And as you come back to church with us, what will be your response? Who will you worship? How will you worship? And I tell you what, like having, you know, Steph, I love what we were able to do over that many, but I love having a team back as well. And having you back in the building and hearing one voice of praise go up as we sing these songs is going to be a brilliant thing. And we have missed corporate worship. But make no mistake, corporate worship is not the beginning. It is the overflow. It is the overflow of our own hearts and our own worship of God. We have certain constraints here around the songs and the timing and all this sort of stuff. You don't in your own personal worship of God. So a worthy response is to come with confidence, to come with humility, falling to our knees, and to come with worship. And in closing, I want us to take one more step with our worship. And this is going to be our landing spot, which is Psalm 100. And this is a passage that I encourage you, like, take it from today, make it a screensaver, plaster it through your house, write it on every day of your diary. So when you look at it, you see it. Put it in the car, make it known to you. Let it determine your perspective through every moment. This scripture is the origin of this message today and our closing. Psalm 100, a psalm of thanksgiving. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. And verse 4, enter His gates with thanksgiving. Go into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever and His faithfulness continues to each generation. Church, a worthy response to the presence of the Lord is thanksgiving and joy. Oh my, what a day it will be when we stand before the Lord in heaven. The joy that'll be there. When I was in my late teens, a song came out that just ripped through the church. And then a few years ago, it was made into a movie. Nick, what is the song I'm talking about? Not With Everything. I Can Only Imagine. I Can Only Imagine. You know this song? I Can Only Imagine. And the chorus to this song, if you know it, if you don't know it, just watch it after the service, listen to it. It's an amazing song. I Can Only Imagine. And it says this. It says, surrounded by your glory, in your presence, surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I even be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. And I think about this song all the time when we hear the passing of someone who knows Jesus, he's Lord of their lives, and I think, what will that moment be like? Because they are experiencing it now as they stand before Almighty God. Are they shouting for, like, are they in awe? Can they even, what an amazing moment, the presence of God. But for you and I right now, that time has not yet come, but His presence is still with us today. And we can respond with thanksgiving and joy. And I want to speak specifically to anyone who is lacking in joy right now. And I've watched people respond differently to what we've been through over the last 2 years. You know, this virus comes and we go into lockdown and what does this mean? And we get on top of it and then we go in and out of lockdown for months and then we go into lockdown for months. And then the vaccination comes and with it confusion and division and anger and disunity. All to the point like where the joy is being sucked out of people. And I think about it like Craig and Annette, like one of those spit suckers at the dentist. You know what I'm talking about? I don't know what it's called. Like the doctors, I just think of the doctors, they say suction, suction, and it comes in. Steph, what's it called? A what? A yanker sucker is officially what it's called. That's true. Is that true? That's true. Who made that up? This is a yanker sucker. How creative. But I think about that, you know, that it's like that. And what happens when you go to a dentist and they suck all the liquid out, what happens is your mouth just ends up 100% dry. Like it is just a dry mouth. And I think that some people, as the joy has been sucked out, you're just feeling dry. It's just a dry time. And I want to remind you of the truth of that today. John 10:10, that the thief comes, but Jesus has come that we may have life and life to the full. There is abundant life found in Christ. And if you have lost your joy right now, come into the presence of God and allow Him to fill you and to guide you. Look at what the psalmist says in Psalm 16, verse 7. He says, I will bless the Lord who guides me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for He is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and I rejoice. My body rests in safety. For I will not leave my soul among the dead, for you will not leave my soul among the dead, or allow your holy name, Holy One, to rot in the grave. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. Here's the thing. We should enter the presence of God. Our worthy response is to come with thanksgiving and joy. But if you don't have it, the presence of God is where it can be found. Church, we serve a God that is bigger than what we face right now. Whatever challenges are to come, He has gone before. He is with us and He will guide us. His word is a lamp unto our feet, a light to our path. Psalm 23, even though we may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. God is here. He is inviting you into His presence to dwell with Him, that the things of earth would fade as we come before Him. And as we do, we respond by entering with confidence, on our knees in humility, with all of our worship, and with thanksgiving and joy. Jesus, all glory to you. Father, we thank you so much for making a way for us to be in your presence. Jesus, we thank you for your obedience, your willingness out of your love for us and for the Father to go to the cross so that we can come back into relationship with the Father. And Jesus, we want our response to being in your presence to be a worthy one. So Father, I pray for anybody who may be missing their joy right now, particularly, that Father, even this day, they would step into your presence, that they would know that you are with them, Lord God, that you would give them perspective of the moments we find ourselves in and perspective of your great plan, that we have been saved, Lord Jesus, from the grave. We have no fear because of what has been won for us on the cross. And Jesus, we give you all thanks and praise for that right now. Now, finally, at the beginning, I highlighted the fact that our response is determined by our relationship. And personal relationship starts with an introduction. Jesus is the one that you want to meet. Jesus, the Son of God, came to earth as a person, sinless, without fault, and took the sins of the earth, the sins of yours and the sins of mine, upon himself and died on the cross so that we can enter into the presence of God freely. And here's the thing. What happens when we decide to become a Christian is that we put our faith in Christ. We say, no longer my way, but your way. The payment to enter the presence of God is our lives, all of me. The Bible says that if we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, that we will be saved. That Jesus is Lord. And you might think that giving your life to someone is a negative. But in fact, there is nothing better in this circumstance, because Jesus is the only one who can actually save us from our sin. We live in a time where giving up of ourselves is slammed. You know, you should not be doing that. But when we give our entire lives to Jesus, he saves us. That is the only way. No manner of living well, no manner of doing the right things actually counts. It's simply why what Jesus did for you, that you can be made right with God. And if you're watching today, presence starts with relationship, and you want to enter into a relationship with Jesus today, then I want to give you that opportunity to say yes to him, to make him Lord over your life, to give your life over to him. And even though I can't see you respond, you better believe that he can. He's looking down and he sees you right now. And if you want to enter into his presence, start a relationship with him, a personal relationship with him, not one that you just know about Jesus, but that he is the one that you are walking with, then I just want to help you pray right now. So if that's you, with every eye closed, and every church member that we have praying right now, I want you to say this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for your love for me. I come before you now with all of my faults and ask you to be Lord of my life. I give my life to you. I believe, Jesus, that you died and that you rose again. Cleanse me and make me new. My life is now yours. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Can we welcome those people who said that prayer for the first time? The kingdom of God this morning. That is so awesome. Man, we would love to speak to you about that decision. We have Bibles here that we would love to get in your hands as well. And so if you can, we would love you to jump on the website and let us know that you made that decision. Let us begin this journey with you as well. Church, thank you so much for joining us today. As I said, we can't wait. We can't wait to have you back. We can't wait to see you again. But until then, continue to know that Jesus is Lord. He is sovereign. Keep giving it over to him. Amen? Amen. All right, we will see you next week for Pastor Nick, 10 a.m. Catch up with someone this week. Catch up with them. Say hi. Spend some time. See you soon.
Thanks, Nick. Isn't it fantastic for us who are in church today? Just a small number, and of course the platform, it's just fantastic. What an honour to do communion. I love communion. I love the symbolism communion. I love the aspect of the love that it demonstrates to me. But unfortunately for me, that wasn't always the case. Communion initially as a young Christian was a tough time for me. And I understand now why. As a kid growing up, I spent a lot of time in the principal's office. In fact, as an adult, I spent a lot of time in the principal's office. And that was because I sometimes was naughty. Well, most of the time. As a kid going to the toilet when I was supposed to be in bed, I worried about getting into trouble with my mum and my dad. Was it wet the bed? go to the toilet and get into trouble. I don't know. I remember when Pastor Hal used to call me, Graham, would you like to come down and see me in my office? Immediately I'd think, what do I need to put down my pants, a book or something so I don't get into trouble? Was I naughty? It's interesting how I always felt like I was in trouble, yet more often than not, there was no reason for it. And as a new Christian, that was the same coming into the presence of God. Was I in trouble? Was I going to get into trouble? Why? Because I saw God as an authority figure. And obviously, I know I was being robbed from seeing his love. Looking back through now different eyes, now eyes of security, eyes of knowing who I am in Christ, eyes of knowing that God is in control of my life, eyes of knowing that all things do work together for good, I now see that the principal, my dad, my mum, Hal, and all of those others that were and are in authority over me only wanted the best for me, yet I allowed myself to be robbed. And so as we think about communion and we think about the symbolism, I always think of the tabernacle. I always think of the veil between the holiest of all and the holy place. There because of our sin. There because of the sin of the children of Israel and the law, etc., etc. And of course, it was God's way of protecting them, not stopping them from coming into his presence, but protecting them so that they wouldn't die. God knew that he was protecting them until Christ came. And then because of Jesus' sacrificial death, that wall of partition, the Bible says, was torn from the top to the bottom as Christ died. In Matthew 27, it says, as Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit, and behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks were split. And then in Hebrews, it says, he entered once for all, I love it, once for all people, for all time, into the holy place, not by the means of the blood of goats and calves, as in the Old Testament, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. Remember, once for all, we don't have to have anyone else do it again. It's been done. He has appeared once for all at the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of his death himself. And so, with that veil being torn from top to bottom, with sin having been dealt with because of Christ's sacrificial love, we can now boldly enter into presence through God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal, everlasting life. Because of that love, we can now boldly enter the presence of God. Our sin has been cleansed, forgiven. It's as far as the east is to the west in God's sight. In fact, the Bible says he remembers it no more. Why do we continue to remember the things that we do wrong? Why do we always feel as though our sin alienates us from God when we can come to Christ and know that it has been forgiven, that it's gone forever? God remembers it no more. And so we only have two tasks to do: to receive and to be able to boldly enter into that presence of God. We don't have to hide behind a curtain. We don't have to wonder whether God's in a good mood or not. We can boldly enter into his presence. We can sit on his lap as our dad. All we need to do is accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, ask forgiveness for our sins, and receive, and this is important, and receive his cleansing. 1 Corinthians 11 says, but if we would examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God in this way. Today, as we take communion, we have the opportunity of examining ourselves, asking forgiveness, receive the cleansing, and then run like mad into the throne room of God and sit on his lap. Let's do that this morning. No more robbing. No more guilt. No more condemnation. Mr. Andrews, you didn't give us freedom. God gave us freedom. We have freedom today because of the Spirit of Christ that lives within us. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to take just a few short seconds just to reflect ourselves, and I'd like you to take communion wherever you are right now. Father, I just thank you that our freedom comes from your Spirit. Our freedom comes from Christ. Our liberty, our freedom comes from knowing and living in you. And I thank you personally for that revelation of who I am in you, your love for me, how you demonstrated that, how you outworked that, how that wall of partition that I'd allowed to be built up in my mind was pulled down as I recognized your love, as I received your forgiveness, as I allowed myself to be cleansed. Father, as your word says, old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So, Lord God, I pray that as we partake together right now, that, Lord God, we would allow that same liberty, that same freedom, and that we would boldly come into your presence this morning. We give you thanks in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. Let's partake together and let's reflect.